You are listening to the Huddle Up Podcast, part of the USA Today Podcast Network. I'm your host, Corey Bonini, and we're here to talk fantasy football for the 2018 NFL season. Welcome for week 10 of the fantasy football season. This week I'm flying solo. Ryan's off doing, well, whatever it is Ryan does. And I am here by myself to go through a few different points that I'd like to address about the podcast, where we're headed, where we've come from, what we envision this to be going down the road for the rest of the season and beyond. And then we'll talk specifically about the remaining strength of schedule for fantasy football purposes. So right off the bat, anytime somebody who gets into a new endeavor such as podcasting, or maybe you created a YouTube channel or anything else that requires a little bit of time to craft your skills, you come across the realization it takes time to build an audience. It doesn't matter how long you have been in an industry or how long you've been doing any one thing for. It's a gradual process to build a consistent, loyal following. Nobody goes out there right away, turns on the switch, and has a huge audience right off the bat unless they already bring one with them. If you're a world-known brand or if you're a famous face, you can probably turn on that fire hose because you have that immediate following. If you're in the world where you're looking into getting into something like this, the very first bit of advice I'd have for you is it takes some time, so be patient. With that in mind, we started this year's podcast basically on a whim. We weren't even out in the market for the opening week of the season. And you enter a crowded market with established quality podcasts, it's hard to find your footing right away. And understandably so. At The Huddle, we have our Blitz podcast, which is approaching 100 episodes. And I'm sure those guys will tell you, it wasn't easy. They didn't just automatically become a popular podcast and run through 90 plus episodes. So this podcast was born with the idea, and primarily out of passion, mind you, as a supplemental listen to The Blitz. And at times I feel like maybe we've merged a little too close to each other with what we offer. So the primary focus I have going forward is going to compartmentalize what we do episode by episode and become more nuanced, more niche in our approach. They can remain and will remain the more overarching podcast. It comes out earlier in the week, which is extremely beneficial if you're working your waiver wire. Being that we come out later in the week, it doesn't do you a lot of good listening because everybody's been picked up already. And if you're in a scenario where you're curious about the hot take on whatever the latest situation is, you can find that in a million spots in the days leading up to our release late in the week. Totally understandable. Being more specific and focused with our approach is going to be one of the primary factors going forward. Some episodes might be wildly popular because you hit a target audience for a topic that maybe isn't talked about, or people are more interested in getting that in-depth opinion on it that you can't necessarily give it if you're glossing over multiple topics in the course of a broader spectrum on a weekly basis. So I'd started saying that this was born out of passion for fantasy football and talking. And anyone who knows me well understands I rarely shut up, sometimes at my own detriment. I look at it this way. It's like when a player goes from one team to the next and then explodes on the field. They already had the makings of being a great player. Fit was what was different. They didn't fit the prior system or scenario, or the chemistry wasn't right, or the coaching staff didn't understand how to best utilize that player, or the rapport with the quarterback wasn't there, etc. There are a million variables, and something like this isn't really that different. You have to find your role that best suits your skill set and best suits your audience as well, right? If you find all of those things right away off the bat, that's awesome. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you have to feel your way through. And I understood that going in. The first couple months of the season were going to be used as a test, so to speak, to find out what would work well for us and for the audience. With all of that in mind, the focus going forward will be shorter, more directed, targeted listens. As always, feedback is welcome, even if it's, hey, you guys suck and we don't want to listen to you. You know, everybody who does this type of thing understands you're not going to be there for everybody. Totally get it. Doesn't bother me. You have to have thick skin to work in the fantasy sports industry, trust me. If you're wrong on something, people let you know. So moving forward, starting now, here we go. This week's topic is strength of schedule the rest of the way and we'll look at a few specific players that you can focus on, whether it be picking up off the waiver wire, or perhaps if your league still has not implemented its trade deadline, which usually starts week 10, you might still have some time to land one of these guys. At quarterback, a couple of names jump out to me. Dak Prescott has the second best remaining strength of schedule. The Cowboys have improved the passing game with the addition of Amari Cooper, and while he may not be immediately that drastic of an upgrade for the offense, he helps everybody else around him. He helps Michael Gallup. He helps Cole Beasley. He helps Allen Hurns. And it frees up some defensive attention that would normally be stacked around the line of scrimmage that would be crowding for the running game, and a better running game helps with more play action passing, etc. The ripple effect can be way bigger than any one individual player's statistical results appear to be. Prescott's legs also make him a wonderful fantasy addition, especially if you're worried about bye weeks or you're having inconsistency problems at the quarterback position. And as Dallas's defense shows a few cracks here and there in recent weeks, it also makes you wonder, is that possibly a sign of things to come, especially after once again losing linebacker Sean Lee to an injury, this time 4 to 6 weeks is the prognosis. Prescott probably will hover right around that low-end QB1 fantasy placement the rest of the way. Here's a pickup and stash guy I'm really intrigued by. I don't know that he'll ever actually be a fantasy starter this year, but he's somebody that I would really like to bury on a lot of rosters where I have the opportunity. It's Baltimore Ravens rookie quarterback Lamar Jackson. After a promising start to the year, the Ravens have dropped 3 straight games in 4 of the last 5. How much longer after the Week 10 bye does Joe Flacco have? I expect he starts Week 11 without any issue. But you're looking at Week 12 having the Oakland Raiders, then the Atlanta Falcons, Kansas City Chiefs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Los Angeles Chargers. Mostly really good fantasy matchups. And as I just mentioned with Dak Prescott's legs, Lamar Jackson is that times a million. He will have bumps and lumps and ugly moments as a quarterback throwing the football, so you would have to be able to tolerate some interceptions and some fumbles. And what he brings with his legs is something that very few quarterbacks have ever been able to offer in the history of the NFL. I'm going to jump right over the running back position. This time of the year, it's almost impossible to find anybody off of the waiver wire, and there really isn't anyone who jumps out at me as a great target to trade for at the position. I've said in the last several weeks I've been high on David Johnson's stretch run. It'll be really interesting to see coming out of that bye week how Byron Leftwich uses him in week 10. Either way, I think he's a minimum of a top 7 PPR running back the rest of the season. So moving over to the wide receiver position. This is amazing to me. If you look at the rookie class, we have in order for the best remaining strength of schedule, Michael Gallup is number 1. And if Dak Prescott plays well, Michael Gallup should benefit from it. Number 2 goes DJ Moore. Let's forget about that Thursday night stinker that we saw from the Carolina offense. Moore has shown quite a bit in the last month or so, but unless he finds the end zone, it is tough to count on him as a regular fantasy contributor. So keep that in mind. Cortland Sutton, the Demaryius Thomas trade, thrust him into a primary role. It didn't quite translate in fantasy production in week 9, but there's still some time to go, and he's a rookie, and again, bumps and lumps, and you're going to see that with rookies, especially wide receiver. Still has the 4th best remaining strength of schedule. Still should see plenty of passes come his way the rest of the year. Tre'Quan Smith has the 5th best remaining strength of schedule. The addition of Dez Bryant is a double-edged sword. It helps him because he won't see much attention, especially the way Michael Thomas sees double coverage. But it obviously will also limit the number of targets he sees. Being that he's a home run threat, he's probably best left for DFS or as a standard league flyer if you're looking for desperate touchdown opportunities. Christian Kirk has the 6th best remaining strength of schedule on paper, and I personally think he's the best guy to own out of this group. All of the attention paid to Larry Fitzgerald has opened him up. He has shown some chemistry so far with Josh Rosen. He has really good hands. He's a crisp route runner for a young player. And he's shown a little bit of ability inside of the red zone to create separation with his feet. Not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, not the strongest guy. That doesn't much matter. And Antonio Callaway. After that disastrous 2-catch, 10-target day in Week 6, he's caught 9 of his last 13 balls. He scored a touchdown in that window. And as that offense works in different players like we saw with Duke Johnson last week, that will help separate the defensive coverage just a little bit. Because now they have to second-guess themselves rather than in the first half of the year, there really wasn't any threat of anyone catching the ball out of the backfield. All of those guys have top 10 remaining strength of schedules and could be fantasy factors in the right situation. And moving over to tight end, I love Mark Andrews, the best remaining strength of schedule coming back from the bye week. He's been involved a little bit, especially in the red zone the last few games. And if that offense ends up turning to Lamar Jackson, rookie quarterbacks tend to rely on the tight end position more than they do on wide receiver. As discussed in the last segment, Cortland Sutton was an interesting option at wide receiver, but Jeff Heirman, the tight end, saw 11 targets, catching 10 of them at a touchdown in week 9, after Demaryius Thomas was traded. Being 6'5", he is the best red zone weapon this offense has at this point. I wouldn't want to focus attention on adding both Sutton and Heirman. Sutton's going to be universally owned at this point, so you'd have to land him in a trade. But Heirman's available on a bunch of waiver wires right now. And three other players that are worth looking into, but come with concerns. Robbie Anderson, he's nursing that ankle injury. He had great chemistry with Josh McCown last year. McCown steps into the starting lineup with Sam Darnold nursing a foot injury, and it's really unclear how long McCown will be starting. So if you look ahead, gamers might get excited here. They might think, wow, look, we can recapture some of that magic from that offense last year and utilize it in fantasy, and probably at a cheap price. I've seen Anderson on a lot of waiver wires, and I'm sure a lot of owners who currently have him stashed probably wouldn't ask for a lot in a trade. But this is not an ideal situation. The remaining strength of schedule includes Buffalo, New England, Tennessee, Buffalo again, Houston, and Green Bay. There's potential there against Green Bay. Houston's fairly good at covering receivers. The Patriots can be had at times, but they're generally really good at taking away the best opposing weapon, and Robbie Anderson has to be considered that in the passing game for the Jets. Buffalo is atrocious against the run, but really good against quarterbacks and really good against wide receivers subsequently. Tennessee is capable of locking down most people on the outside with their quality cornerback duo. The most popular wide receiver name of the week is Dez Bryant. Yes, he's worth adding, but I would not be excited. The strength of schedule is good. It works in his favor. Now he has to learn a fairly complex system, come in and build chemistry with Drew Brees. He's going to fight Michael Thomas for targets. Then he's going to have to worry about Traquan Smith stealing work from him. Alvin Kamara, Benjamin Watson, Mark Ingram. There's just so many passes in an offense, right? There are only so many to go around. And expecting much out of Dez Bryant other than maybe a fluky TD here and there. How do you project that? How do you predict that and put that into a fantasy lineup? Good luck. I personally wouldn't add him. I don't see a lot of upside there. He looked pretty much toast in the last two seasons. He can't separate. He's not extremely athletic. He relies way too much on his body and his size. And the darling of the week is going to be Nick Mullins. He wasn't added in a lot of leagues this past week. People probably understood that it was the Oakland Raiders and they left him out of their waiver plans accordingly. But this week he takes on the New York Giants. Another great matchup. So let's project he has another strong game. The biggest aspect from the Raiders matchup was they couldn't lay a hand on him. The Giants have the second worst pass rush behind the Oakland Raiders. We'll pretend he has a really good game, the second one in a row, people get excited, he has a bye week. May not be immediately picked up in week 11 because of that. But then he comes back to face Tampa Bay, and people are going to start licking their chops saying, wow, this kid's had two great games, had that bye week for extra preparation time, faces the Tampa Bay defense, wham, they pick him up, they put him in a lineup. I don't have any problem with that. But at Seattle versus Denver, at home against Seattle again, and then closes out with week 16 against Chicago for the end of the fantasy football season. Maybe you can get away with using him for a start or two when there's some buys and cover an injury or something like that. But beyond that, he's not a long-term option in any situation, regardless of how he plays in his first three starts. If you're looking for help to win your fantasy championship, it's never too late to sign up for thehuddle.com. Use the code WINNER18, that's W-I-N-N-E-R, numbers 1 and 8, WINNER18, and you can save nearly 43% off the regular season price. Get into the huddle and we'll help you win a championship. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.